Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Billy Lore. I am a sex educator and porn maker, and today I am role-playing as Kate Sloan, because she's not here right now. Who are you, friend?
My name is Dee Darkholm. I am a photographer, and I do porn, and I'm dating you, so I didn't think about the three things that I say until just now, because, you know, that's how the podcast.
I thought about it ahead.
Because you're Kate.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Totally missed opportunity to say, who are you, boyfriend? I'm not going to take it again. Like, would have been great. Anyway, we're here to talk about role-playing. Kate and I did an episode a couple weeks back on role-playing that I really enjoyed. And also showed a lot about the ways Kate and I role play differently, which was like really fascinating, and also made me really crave a conversation with you where we could get into the like nerdy minutia of the ways that we role play. Cause from what I gather from my experience with other kinksters, we're kind of weirdos, but in a fun, interesting way, which, you know, also my life experience. I don't know. I thought it would be fun to get into kind of the nerdery of how we like to role play. Yeah?
Yeah. And it's funny because my response was going to be, oh, yeah, no, we're kind of the weirdos. Just that's the end of the sentence, period.
Yeah.
I also was thinking about that a lot listening to that episode and everything. And so, yeah, no, I have.
And you're dating me, so now you're here.
Woo!
Okay. So listeners to this show know that I have quite a bit of experience in role-playing, like in our relationship specifically. It's a thing we spend a lot of time doing. Talk to me about what your experience in role-play and just also like in performance, I guess. What did that look like prior to dating me? Because I had really elaborate fantasies but hadn't actually done much role-play beyond like standard DS or like puppy play type stuff before dating you.
Yeah, honestly, pretty similar boat. Like I've always been, I spent most of my life writing fiction. That was like my outlet for existing. I went to school for creative writing, and like I've always been kind of a theatrical person. If I went to a school district with money, I would have been in a theater program, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So like all of my, the meanness of being me certainly implied that role play might be a thing that I'm into. But prior to dating you, I hadn't had anybody who I guess was, I don't know, not even was interested in exploring. It wasn't like I met every person I was dating. I was like, so do you want to role play with me? Like it wasn't really a thing that I was actively thinking about. But it was certainly, it's things that have come up and things that I've like wanted to try, but never had a person who I'm like, yeah, and I could see myself doing that with this person because, mm-hmm. I don't know, got to be kind of a, I don't know. There's usually some sort of indication.
Well, tell me more about that. This is not a visual medium, but I had my mouth opening for the next question and they saw my face shift and go, no, sorry, keep talking.
I know.
And the reason I know they saw is because their face was very unhappy. They were just like, oh no.
Well, because you know how I feel about having thoughts as they're happening out my face. Well, that's what happened with the end of that. So we're going to figure out what I mean by that as I say it.
That's how I live my whole life. It's worked out well.
I know. I like it. Well, I guess I mean, okay, it's not like I have a radar for that person's probably a fucking role player like mm-hmm. I do with, I don't know, eggs. Mm-hmm. But like I do think in having met more people who are into role play significantly, like listed as a thing they are capital I into, mm-hmm. I feel like I have noticed enough similar threads that I can, I don't know. I suppose there are things I'm starting to notice a lot of those people have in common. There's a lot of overlap with people who are into board games mm-hmm. and role play in my experience.
people who, like, I kind of get what you're saying, and I understand, like, role play is kind of a thing that I will float an idea of, but not generally push for, because, like, I don't know. There are some kinks that I'm like, no, let me talk to you about why I think it's fun. And if there's any bit of that that sounds fun to you, let's figure out a way we can do it together. I'd love to show you this thing. I'd love to get you into this. I'd love to, like, I don't know, like showing someone my favorite TV show or something. Like, let me give you the sales pitch and see if it sounds fun. I'm less inclined to do that with role play, I think, because you want someone who's already excited about the concept, because that, like, you need to be willing to go for it in terms of, like, leaning into the role. And that requires a certain kind of vulnerability and, like, extroversion's not quite the right word. I'm just gesturing outward, but y'all can't see me. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I feel like you need someone who finds it hot enough to get past the awkwardness.
Yes, and who is excited to do that, who I don't think that I am, like, that is inside cringing but trying to put on a good face for me.
Right.
Like, I don't want that with any kink, but I think particularly with role play, I'm more cautious of it or more worried about it, I guess.
Yeah, I agreed.
Yeah, which kind of brings me to my next question, because I'm curious what draws you to it, what makes you the person that is, like, excited about that thing. And, like, did you have, I don't know, we're talking about people who are excited to get past that awkwardness, but in the last episode we talked about how often role play has this, people have this fear of cringiness, or, like, it has this air of, like, cringy, awkward, whatever. And I'm curious if you ever, like, felt that way about it and, like, got past it, or if you've always thought it was hot, like, what's your relationship to it look like?
Yeah, so I don't know that I always found it hot also, not because of the cringe, but, like, the cringe never really felt like it would detract from it being hot, mm-hmm. because, like, the models that you see of role play, you know, on in just general vanilla in the world media, mm-hmm. of, like, you know, horny student teacher role play or stuff like that. And I'm like,
it's campy.
It's campy. And, like, and I don't know. There is something hot about being silly with a person. I've always liked, I don't know, I don't think that I've ever dated a person in the world who can't be characterized as some sort of silly. Mm-hmm. I routinely call you a cartoon character as a term of endearment. Like, I just, mm-hmm. yeah.
I enjoy it, yeah.
So, like, you know, I think I've always just been the kind of person who is like, haha, no, that sounds kind of, like, weird and, but, like, weird and fun that we're doing together, right? Yeah. But, like, definitely mostly considered it, like, that would be fun to do. And, like, you know, horny. And then we'd get horny from other stuff probably afterwards, because, like, it would be fun and kind of horny. But, like, it's silly. It's mostly silly, right?
So kind you of were thing. Drawn to it in this feeling of, like, a shared play space and a shared imagination space and yeah. something you could create and build together. But not necessarily something that was inherently horny. The process of creation with another person and of sharing and giggling and yeah, and imagining.
Also, in my early, I think my earliest roleplay fantasies always ended in kink and impact. So anytime I pictured, like, sometimes bondage, but mostly impact. Like, when I would actually fantasize about something that involved, like, that I was picturing as a capital R roleplay.
And what kind of roleplays were those?
Honestly, lots of teacher-student, because mm-hmm. I was a straight-A student and have a lot of feelings about being praised. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, like, I had lots of, even when I was a teenager, kind of had, like, teenage role-play fantasies, and, like, it would often involve, I got kidnapped by people that I thought really hot a lot and mm-hmm. these kinds of things like that. But they almost always ended in kink. And, like, sex would also happen, probably, but, like,
it was more a setup for a way to get to kink.
Yeah, and it's set up to have an experience.
Okay, that's interesting. Because that's not necessarily how we tend to play it out in practice.
Right.
Our role plays don't tend to be that campy or silly. I mean, sometimes they are towards the beginning, but we like to lean more on fear and taboo and that sort of thing, which we'll get into more in a bit. And we also tend to use them more as an avenue to get to sex than we do kink.
Yeah.
So is that like, talk to me about what you find hot about them in practice rather than in theory and what you felt drawn to.
Yeah.
Since we use them so differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's funny because like I haven't really thought about those things in ages. So like also like recalling my earliest roleplay fantasies was like, you know, pulling them out of memory banks and being like, mm-hmm. wow, that is different from how it is now, huh? Because I haven't thought about it in a while. But yeah, I think I have, I don't really know when it happened, but over the course of probably actually getting into kink and the kink community and starting to explore just kink in general, I think that is when I started to get a shift from role play being like the idea of exclusively this like campy fun thing mm-hmm. And being able to see it as avenues to explore and get into things that I find hot that are mostly like taboo. Like I don't really like role playing things that aren't taboo. I imagine people do it, but I can't imagine what they would be and why I would do them.
Well, yeah. I mean, we take plenty of role plays that aren't even inherently taboo and go, okay, but how do we make this fucked up though?
Yeah.
So I think that's just us. That's not necessarily even the nature of the topics that like... are often, I mean, yes, taboo is often in there. I think more often power is built into them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can do a teacher, since this is the example we're going on, it's one of my go-tos, like, as an example as well. If we're playing with teacher-student, like, the way we would play that is, you know, a teacher who is, like... oh, I really shouldn't be doing this, but, like, there's this really slutty student who is wearing increasingly tiny skirts and just, like, putting their legs up on the desk and, like, is now staying after class to blackmail me or, like, something like that,
right?
That is fraught in the, like, emotional turmoil of, oh, God, I'm fucking a student. Mm-hmm. Because that's complicated and hot to us. So many other people would just be like, yeah, and you gotta do what I say or you're gonna fail, right? Because what they're leaning on is that kind of that power dynamic, but this power dynamic that is, I don't know, administrative in like the boss kind of way,
right?
But has that age disparity in the like daddy kind of way, mm-hmm. and is a little caretaking because of that, right?
Yeah.
Like they're taking an archetype of power.
Mm-hmm.
We're perverts, we make it taboo. Anyway,
yeah.
Off on a little tangent there.
Yeah, you definitely have to tell me what question I was answering.
Mm-hmm. As soon as I remember it, I will. No, we were talking about what you find hot about it in practice now. And I'm going to nudge you to reference that thing we were talking about a little bit beforehand as well, how it's good for our brains, because you mentioned that kink, you don't use it so much for kink. And I think part of that is, like, being in the community, A, you've seen other examples of role play, but B, I know I don't so much feel like I need an excuse to get beaten or a story to get beaten. I'm interested in the experience of the scene, whereas we were talking earlier about how for role play, it is like an extra layer of stim for our brains on top of the sex we're already having that kind of enhances it. And I don't find I need that as much for kink. You want to explain a little more?
Yes. Yeah. And like I don't know. I have ADHD, which I am used to hearing you say on podcasts, but I do too. And a thing that is apparently, according to everyone I know, really, really common is it can be hard to focus during sex because mm-hmm. It can be hard to focus during anything, mm-hmm. and sex is a thing. So it's no exclusion to... I'm thinking about other things when I would rather not be. So, I don't know, adding a layer of something else to be thinking about and keeping track of in a fun way, something I'm into. It's not like taxes, but something that I'm into that is related to what I'm doing, but adds an extra layer of processing. Yeah, it definitely, like, stim is a good word for it because it is stimulating. It's literally, huh? Yeah. But yeah, it is another layer of something keeping me engaged. So the part of my brain that wants to wonder if there's leftover spaghetti is instead wondering if this robot has two ports or one.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that in a second. but it is actually a good setup because the metaphor I was about to use, I've been thinking of my brain a lot in computer metaphors lately, which is not actually all that new. But I tend to think of, like, my attention or my active processing as having, you know, say 10 points of available space or whatever at any given time. And it is not a matter of occupying less than 10 points. Like, I could pay attention to a maximum of 10 points. No, I need to be having 7 to 10 points of attention occupied at all times. Like, those are the hamsters running in my brain. So if the sex I'm having is occupying 5 or 6, those other 3, 4, 5 points are going to be thrown at something, right? Or I'm going to be, like, itchy and uncomfortable. So because I don't want them to be going to the stress about taxes, I'm allocating them to this other story that we've created together. I'm, like, wondering how many ports the robot has. which is a good segue to talking, like, in practice. All right, set us up with some of our most common role plays, and then we'll dig into, like, how we kind of build them.
Yes. So I hinted at, hands down, our most common kind of dynamic. You being some sort of robot and mm-hmm. me being insert whatever thing we would like to interact with the robot. Oftentimes, I'm just a human person. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, I am my favorite thing to role play as, which is an alien of some mm-hmm. sort. Mm-hmm. And, like, alien asterisk. Like, it's not, like, yes, the alien comes from somewhere else. Like, it's not super, it's never been super relevant, like, what planet or, like, that. Or
we
the
have
fact
given stories to the culture of the planet.
Yes, yes. We've given, yes, yes, absolutely. It is not always, I guess, like, sometimes the alien is more kind of critter-like, cryptid-like, like some. So that's what I mean. Like, the alien can be more of, like, a curious little thing that does come from a planet that we know things about. And sometimes it's just a thing in your room. And I guess it's an alien, or I guess it's a cryptid. I don't know what this thing is.
Yeah. Yeah, it could definitely easily look like cryptid or demonic or...
And sometimes the alien's just a guy.
Kind of vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, so a guy who lives on another planet that has different rules that are applying to probably the robot.
Which is sometimes, so the fun of the, like, different culture thing, or just saying, like, from a planet where XYZ is true, or where you don't understand XYZ, allows us to kind of, I guess, a subset of taboo. We have a lot of fun with first time things or discovery things. So you get to have this experience of being, like, of nervously exploring something that is not only new to you, but is something that you've never even conceptualized before, which is neat. Like, sometimes the alien is from a planet that doesn't experience penetration. And then the boy gets fisted or fists me, right? And, like, what would it be like to, like, never have even considered that a part of someone's body could go inside someone else's body and then to fist someone, right?
And we also use that to play with things that our characters not knowing what's going on to us, because we're also really into being disoriented in things. And so, like, oh, you're from a, like, you know, character knowledge. I know I'm an alien and I'm from a planet where, you know, my cum does something.
Often a drug type substance, something that either makes me hornier or sleepier or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And you're just a human guy who has no idea what this thing is, and you don't know. Oh, I'm wet now, and now suddenly I want this thing inside me. Wow, weird. There's a substance on me, and I feel a thing.
Yeah. So we like to play with configurations of the robot and the alien and either playing with each other or some flavor of teenage boy in there.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I was going to say. The other thing is, like, teenage role play, which is pretty much, I mean, that's our roots.
Well, the teenagers sometimes play. It is our roots. Yeah. But the teenagers do sometimes play with the robot and their alien.
Exactly.
Even, like, generally when we're just a guy, like.
It's usually age play.
Exactly. So, but the alien and the robot are, like, some of the most fleshed out characters we have, mm-hmm. right? Like, the age play versions tend to be younger versions of ourselves. Frankly, they're gender caricatures, too.
Yeah.
Teenage boy is rather affirming. So, like, playing that up is a thing that we'll often do, and you get to play with the taboo of innocence and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of us really have a particular teenage boy that we play in the way that, like, the alien exists and the robot exists.
Right.
They exist within spectrums, though. Like, the robot, the story isn't, like, we don't have a canon of, like, things that are always true.
Right.
We have more of, like, a word cloud of, or a cluster of things that are sometimes true.
Yeah, and, like...
So, like, tell me a little bit about the alien.
Yeah, and so it feels like the alien and the robot are both, like, categories. So, like, mm-hmm. when I, you know, when we are sleepy and horny and we're like, oh, who are you tonight? And I say, I think I'm an alien. That's already getting us... Okay, so I'm probably saying that I'm not, like...
I'm not talking a lot.
Most likely not talking a lot. Sometimes the alien is talkative when the alien is kind of just a guy, though.
Mm.
Because we've had, I think...
But even then, the alien only muses to himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not communicating with you a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers who are playing with each other or with a robot or an alien tend to talk a lot more to each other.
You're right.
And tend to externalize that they have more of a human experience.
Yeah.
Occasionally,
and a dialogue.
There is also a bad man who plays with either the robot or the alien.
Mm-hmm.
He also tends to talk a lot because he's menacing and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the alien doesn't talk a lot. The alien is just... And if it does, it's only talking to itself. It is much less interested in, like, communicating with me.
Yeah. Yes. Correct. Wow. That was a good distillation of that rule. That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I say rule, it's not, like, as you can tell, it's not a thing that I said, okay, so when I'm an alien, this never happens. But, mm-hmm. like, we've been doing this enough that that's the flavor that I'm going for when I start doing that. So anyway, so when if I'm the alien, there is a flavor of alien who, like, I would say is, like, the curious one. Usually, like, I may be in slightly little headspace even.
Mm-hmm.
That alien is maybe a flavor of innocence corruption going on there. If the alien is, like, doing something to you, it is, like, you know, just kind of exploring and stumbled upon something that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
The
alien also touches me in ways that are less deliberately or explicitly recognized as sexual.
Mm-hmm.
The alien pokes at my bits because it's like, the fuck, what's, this is interesting. Oh, you made a funny sound when that happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
The alien will follow what feels good for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But humans know a lot more what sex looks like. And if they're doing something sexual to me, they know it and either are ashamed of it or are like, don't much care, or, like, sadistically taking it, or are nervous about it, or whatever. The alien touches my knee the same way it touches my dick.
Right, the alien...
with the same curiosity.
Yeah, the alien stumbles across the fact that you have a dick, and mm-hmm. wonders, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe decides it likes this thing now, but it may decide the same thing about your big toe.
Right.
So, yeah. And the alien also tends to... fuck you in ways that are often less relevant to, or are less likely to lead to you getting off.
Yes.
The alien humps more. The alien will hump parts of you. The alien will hump your back. The alien will, yeah, because it doesn't really know what it's just kind of figuring things out. And, oh, that feels nice. I'll just do that. I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you mentioned the, like, more curious, playful alien. What's the other end of that spectrum look like?
The other end of the spectrum is a capital D dangerous alien.
I like this one. And I love them both, but like.
And this.
I like this one.
This, I mean, this is how the alien started, I think. Yeah, no, that one, that's the almost the one that almost always knows about some sort of penetration, whether it knows, you know, what holes humans use it for or what, but it'll find a hole to put something in.
Absolutely. It has the same disregard for my experience. And I want to say the same curiosity, but it's more like of a voracious drive to just explore / tear apart. This one eats me too.
Yeah, no, this one eats you. This one, this one fucks you in ways that, I know are stressful positions.
Right. And like I said, I am partial to this one. But this is absolutely the alien that will fuck the shit out of me.
Yeah, you can't fuck this alien without getting hickeys, pretty much.
Nope. And so similarly, the robot also has a bit of a spectrum that it exists within that tend to be somewhere on the sex doll spectrum, certainly, right? There are degrees of sentience also, right? So there is, like, the totally more or less lifeless, like, real doll type flavor of this, right? There are...
And that one kind of, I feel like, sprouted from sleepy roleplay.
Yeah.
Like, the, yeah, like, absolutely. The robot is newer than the alien is, but, like, the early aughts of the robot was definitely sleepy roleplay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, and, like, there is, like, sex doll things that we play with, and then there is increasing layers of sentience that we can put on that. There is a, like, kind of naive assistance bot that isn't typically sexual, like, is supposed to be a companion bot or, like, a friend, or, you know, whatever, that either a lonely human or an alien who scooped this up and found this at, like, a dump somewhere or whatever, is doing some interesting things they probably shouldn't be doing with, which is fun with the whole, like, corruption of innocence thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, like, slightly more advanced service-y flavors of the robot, but we haven't done a ton of that.
Yeah, we haven't done a ton of that yet. And
we've,
like,
talked about it.
Yeah, we've talked about it. And, like, even the service-y robot tends to be, like, when we've done things like free use. Like, we've had a free use robot once or twice so far. And, like, certainly are going to do that more because that was great.
She's out the rest of tonight. Ooh. That's a date night.
It is a date night.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, BillyLore.com.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to record that as well.
Anyway. So, yeah, anyway, sometimes when even when the robot is more advanced, like, you know, I have been like, oh, you go get my stuff, do this, blah, blah, blah. It's a service robot. It's service robot that I fuck, and it's a whenever, which is lovely and fun. And I think, like, in the same way, like, my alien evolved from, like, fucking the shit out of you and biting you a bunch while doing it and leaving you looking like early jokes of being like, you mauled me last night and things like that, and being like, no, wait, I mauled you last
night. You're like, okay, hang on though.
In the same way that's where the alien kind of sprouted from in things. Like, I feel like the robot sprouted from... I brain so much. When do I not brain?
Yeah.
So, like, it makes sense that the versions of the robot that we play with most often are the hot and dumb version of the robot.
Yeah, absolutely. Where I can be a little bit powered down and, like, I don't know, there is something fun to that flavor of innocence, too, which is one that I haven't, like, really explored until recently, both like in role play, but also just in thinking about, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. But anyway, I want to get a little into, you talked about how these have kind of evolved out of existing role plays. And I think it's probably pretty clear that we didn't just like sit down one day and write up, this is going to be the roster of, we're going to have an alien, a robot, a teenage boy, and a big bad man. And those are going to be our, like, four go-tos, and we'll shuffle them up like a slot machine, and that's our, those are our role-play scenes. Like, this evolved over time. So talk to me a little bit about, like, broadly how these ideas happened, and then bring me down to, like, what does planning a role play in an evening look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, in our relationship as, like, people who nerd out about storytelling and characters and things, like, we did come to this relationship both knowing that we liked role play and, like, saying that early on, I think. Like, but, like, yeah, as, like, a thing that we're, like, into and want to do more, I think, was kind of the flavor. Because we got really excited about fleshing out our characters for the first scene.
Yeah,
that we ever planned.
We did.
Like, really, we've quite fleshed them out. I did journal entries, like, yeah.
I feel like we are, you're elaborating on this because I'm looking pensive here. I feel like we both came into this as humans with very elaborate imaginations.
Yeah.
And very elaborate fantasy lives, and knowing we liked sharing those fantasies with each other, and thinking we wanted to play with specifically, like, age play stuff.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I don't think we talked about it as, like, role play is a thing that we're into.
Yeah, you're
right. We talked
right
about the taboo fantasies that we liked and wanting to share them with people. And yeah, that often looks like role playing them out or talking about them.
Right, and we sexted about them and then...
Exactly.
Hey, what if we did this in person and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was specifically that taboo age play thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That we came to, which I feel like a lot of kinksters come to roleplay through a specific fantasy.
Yeah, I agree. That makes sense.
And somehow we got from that to aliens and robots. Do you want to explain that?
Well, I sure do. Sure do. Have a linear explanation for that.
Not a damn thing in my lives.
Well, yeah, so I think over time, role-playing, I think, just kind of naturally became something we started doing specifically with sex, just because we, and correct me if this doesn't sound like how it happened, but I feel like we started off by talking about what we were just fantasizing about mid-fuck, like immediately after fuck.
Mm.
And that started being things that we talked about before fucking sometimes. That's how I feel like I remember it happening. Like, we would start like, oh, that was so hot. And when you were holding me down, I was actually just kind of acting like I'd been here forever and I didn't know what was happening next. And I was like, that's really hot. Because when I was holding you down, I was acting like you were my pillow and I was just humping you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
Yeah. And we definitely... Yeah, I it does feel like we started by, like, just sharing the things we were already fantasizing about. And we did, like, our first scene was, you mentioned,
yes,
an elaborate role play that we had built around this specific fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we were used to talking about what we were fantasizing about.
Right.
Because we already had this shared language around this particular one. And I think that probably made it easier for us to have those conversations.
Definitely.
Because... Yeah, we started talking about it afterwards, or even in the middle of fucking.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we would tap and be like, suddenly it feels like you are, like, this older dude that I want to impress who's, like, holding me down, and is that cool? And you're like, cool, I feel that way too, right?
Right.
Or
even just like, oh, I didn't, but, like, that's hot and I'm hard about that now. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it... The frequency with which it was either I was actually already thinking that, so you were picking that up because, like, we were a little bit already playing that with each other, or I wasn't thinking that, but I am now, I think made it, like, reassured both of us and made us a lot more comfortable talking about this really casually.
Right, because it's not like you're the first person that I have made up elaborate fantasies while fucking in my life.
Right.
But like I've already mentioned, you are the first person that I have made up elaborate fantasies while fucking in real life together.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, by building...
taking it and running with it.
Right, and building this permissiveness to be like, no, no, we're both assuming at base level we're thinking about something really filthy while fucking. That's what there's... Just assume that's true and going from there and like encouraging hearing about what the other person was getting off about and not taking that as, I don't know, a slight or a weird thing. Cause I don't know, people, I don't know, can get, and I have heard, can get upset or in their head if someone's fantasizing about something completely, quote, completely unrelated to whatever they are currently doing while fucking, even if they're subbing you in.
Yeah, and that's never been a thing that we've really struggled with.
Nah.
No. So yeah, I agree. I think incorporating that permissiveness is really, really helpful. Because now at this point, often when we're like laying on the couch or in the beanbag or whatever, getting ready for bed, you know, putting on whatever show is going to be the last thing we're watching. And we're like, oh, you want to fuck later? How are you feeling about, like, whatever, playing later, whatever. The next question is almost always, are you feeling like being someone? Who do you want to be? Like, what are you feeling tonight? And when, like, the first couple of times we asked that, we already had these things that we had, like, we had our baseline, the thing that we came together and knew we like being teenagers, right? Mm-hmm. We knew the few things that had come up in the middle of fucking or that I like had just fallen out of my mouth and been like, actually, I was thinking about this. How do you feel about that, right? So we had kind of a word bank of things to pull from, and we started finding that we were coming to the same ones. So when the first question is like, who are you? And they say an alien, I say, okay, tell me a little bit more about the alien. Like, what kind of alien is it? And you, like, each time they flesh something out, these paths are becoming more and more well-trodden, right? They don't have to say, I'm feeling like an alien that might be a little carnivorous. And if I'm doing that, that means I'm going to, like, probably bite you a little bit. Like, they can say, oh, I'm kind of a bitey alien. And what if the bitey alien... and add something to that lore. So each time we're revisiting this, we're like adding little chunks and pieces that suit our mood.
Yeah.
And pulling from old things that we loved.
Yeah. And because we're switchy, sometimes the mood, like sometimes it is not, oh, I'm feeling like a malicious alien. Oh, great. I'm feeling particularly edible tonight. And moves, like that happens often. But sometimes it's like, I'm feeling like a small, innocent little alien thing. Doesn't know what's going on. And you're like, okay, because I'm an empty-headed robot bimbo. That's what I have in me tonight. And we're like, okay, let's figure out how these things do something terrible.
Right. Exactly. And, like, what are they going to do together?
Right.
And we've had scenes exactly like that where it's like, okay, well, maybe this weird, curious little alien found this discarded sex doll in a trash heap and is like curious what to do, what it does, right? I think we use the analogy of the way the Little Mermaid collects human things.
Look at this stuff, isn't it neat?
Look at this stuff, isn't it neat?
Because we quote things all the time, and so that, no, that's a shorthand that we've made up. Oh my God, you're,
So, yeah, and we were able to, like, still play with this weird, complicated thing, because we were like, all right, this is what I have in me. What story builds out of that? And then we can take the trends we love from that and build on it in other ways. And we don't even only talk about this when we're fucking. Sometimes we're like, I don't know, making dinner or something. I'm like, it just occurred to me. What if? So we decided that the alien, you know, it's the alien's sweat makes you docile and the alien's cum makes you horny, of course. And like, I don't know. What if that's like... We had something with, like, the evolutionary stuff on the planet, inverting the drive.
Oh.
The way you get hungry for food, the drive for that is the drive for sex versus food is just this, like, indulgence experience, and sex is this carnivorous, like, need that your body has that you will die without it, and how that would totally shift the culture around what sex is versus what food is, and how an alien in that culture would then fucking consume a human. Uh-huh. Which is, like, so many layers of detail, and, like, and it's unnecessary. This is not me being like, and this is how you should be role-playing. This is me being like, this is the thing we did once, and it was really fun to wonder about the implications and the ways that that would be both hot and also, like, complicated to grapple with, and the curiosity that would come with that.
Right. And also, I mean, oh, this is the thing we were talking about earlier that I wanted to make sure that we talked about, because it's also, like, having that much, I don't know, I'm going to say lore, because, like, having that much lore is really, I find it hot, sure, but also it really helps with the, I guess, continuity and narrative of the scene. Mm-hmm. I think most recently about this a role play that we had recently that I've brought up several many times, where I was an alien, but this was a rare version of an alien that was, like, kind of just an alien guy. Mm-hmm. And we, this on this planet, they had human sex bots, right. But they were just little, no, they're not sex bots. No, they were pets. They had mm-hmm. little pet, human pets, like Fantastic Planet. If you've mm-hmm. ever seen that bonkers movie, Fantastic Planet. So I was just like a human, like, you know, person, probably like teenage age or whatever. And I had my little human companion thing. And, it has a little solid state rectangle screen that it plays with. Like, you know, you give your cat a mouse, you give your humans a little rectangle. Uh-huh. So
cough. Cell phone, cough.
Uh-huh. So I was just watching TV with my pet, playing with this little rectangle, and we decided that in the same way that, like, you know, I don't know, people have shock collars on their dogs or whatever, there's a little device that you put on your human to make it, you know, be pet-like and be docile. And we went and found a nipple clamp that we put on his ear, and we decided...
It was just this little tag that I could feel all the time because it was not comfy, and it made it hard to, like, lay on one side of my head or whatever. And its job was to make me a head-empty little thing that didn't fight back.
Because that night, like, there's plenty of times where you're a head-empty little thing that doesn't fight back just because that's your programming. Mm-hmm. But that night, we particularly realized, like, no, I want some sort of thing that's, mm-hmm. like, making me that way. And that's what we discussed and everything. So,
and it was... really neat to create this story where I got to be a pet. Like, I got to play the headspace of a pet without having to. Sometimes it's fun to act like a dog or a cat or a pony or whatever, right? That was not what I wanted to be tonight. I wanted to be a head-empty little human-shaped fuck doll type thing. And a head-empty version of a human. So it was neat to create this story where I could still be a pet, still just flop about and be adored and cuddled and, like, treated as somewhat less than human, while also being able to act like a human. And it adds this wild, interesting layer of, like, bestiality pet play taboo onto to fucking a human, which is just silly and neat.
You're so right. No, it's very good. And so, A, all that on his face was fun and great and hot. But mid-scene, because we put a nipple clamp on someone's ear, mm-hmm. the nipple clamp fell off at some point because I...
When you were fucking my face, not at some point. When you were straddling my head.
Both are true.
Yeah.
That's a point?
It's a relevant point is what I'm getting at. Anyway, carry on. Your thighs squeezed the nipple clamp off of my ear as you were fucking my face within an inch of my life.
Uh-huh.
And then...
You know, so several things could happen. I could have just ignored it and we could have been like, okay, the sex is happening now. We can pretend and everything. But mm-hmm. because we had built, I don't know, some extra lore and added this ear tag, my human pet thing, its tag fell off and it started fucking struggling. Now, before that, he's saying, oh, you were like fucking me, my face with an inch's life. And he was just loving it. It was the best thing that ever happened to him. He didn't need to breathe. He was having a great time. Just here's my mouth and have fun. Uh-huh. And then I fuck his stupid little tag off. And then it starts just, you know, and, you know, moving and pushing and seems a little disoriented and, you know, acting like a thing that just woke up in this weird, what are you doing? Get off my face.
Mm-hmm. That is like slowly getting like, it's, yeah, like woke up, like slowly finding its bearings.
Right.
And doesn't love where it is, but is like totally in an alien environment, essentially. And is like, something's wrong, and is becoming increasingly distressed, but not in a way that, like, I don't have my human words yet.
Yeah, and it was over the course of a few seconds before exactly. my brain did what happens next, which is because we had, I don't know, discussed and built this lore that this is a pet, and this pet is acting like a pet because of this thing and everything. My response was, the same way, you know, your dog has something in its mouth, not supposed to have it in its mouth. And you're like, come here. And you wrench its mouth open and you take the thing out. And you're like, mm-hmm. okay, now you're good. Well, its tag fell off. And I was like, oh, shut up. And I like held his head down and I grabbed the stupid little nipple clamp and I put it back on his ear mm-hmm. while he was struggling and wondering what's going on. And then he just went back to being docile. And I was like, okay, with the mm-hmm. same kind of, I don't know, perfunctory kind of like strength but not actually concern because this is my pet and yeah. it's not gonna hurt me and I know what to do in this situation to make it act the way I want it to act again, you know?
Yeah. And like cutting a terrified cat's nails. Yeah. And like they were saying all the soothing that no, just stay still here. Hang on. No, I just
you're
it's
fine.
Good
come
for
on.
You. You're fine. I just gotta get it back on you. Yeah, exactly. And it was really hot to have, like, to hear their pet tone of voice, essentially, like, shift and, like, it reaffirmed the role that I had created, the subordinates and submissive kind of thing, and the inhuman, which is not quite the right word given the story, but you know what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. Lack of humanity.
I mean. Yeah, exactly. It just kind of reaffirmed that in a very visceral way that was, like, really hot. And we wound up doing that a couple times throughout the scene.
Yeah. And we did, like, I think we paused for a pee break or something. And, like, I said, I really liked the ear. Like, we, you know. Yeah. And then it happened several more times in a scene. But, like, all that is to say, like, the fact that we had, you know, added this extra layer of background. Like, okay, yeah, you're a little docile human thing because this piece of alien tech on your ear.
Mm-hmm.
And move from there, it enhanced the scene when something happened that we hadn't discussed. We hadn't discussed what happens when, you know, in the situation.
It
and it gave us
more opportunities to be creative.
Yeah, that.
More things to build on. Which kind of brings us to a question we got. Someone was curious, and I don't know, we may have kind of been talking about this for a minute, but I want to address it before we wrap up. Someone was talking about how we help these roleplay characters to feel more authentic to both ourselves and each other, so that, like, the connection that's happening while we're playing feels authentic and, like, it's actually happening between us and not just acted, you know?
Yeah. I mean, A, we've talked a lot about how these particular archetypes that we've made have grown out of, like, flavors and versions of us that we were already kind of being while fucking and mm-hmm. you know, so like I would say that's a place to start with things that feel kind of natural anyway. I mean, when we started talking about early on our relationship with the age play things and everything, like at the time I was a little on the eggy side and I thought I was a girl, but like, you know, the version of me that I decided I was like a you know, virgin who was saving herself for marriage, because like that is a flavor of something that I have actually experienced in my life, and it felt something that I could authentically put my head into. Mm-hmm. And like I made that up. Like you couldn't tell me, you know what? Didn't you used to be a Christian? You should be one of those virgin till married weirdos.
Right. Yeah, that'd be a lot.
Yeah, but like I said, hey, I used to be a Christian. I'm gonna be one of those virgin till marriage weirdos, and then you're gonna fuck me.
And that felt
authentic. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was great. So, like, I would definitely say start from, if not your own, like, actual experiences like that. You don't have to do that. But something that feels authentic in the same way that, like, being a head-empty sex robot feels authentic to my filthy, slutty boyfriend.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I would also say there's a lot of flexibility in our role play and in our archetypes. Like we mentioned earlier, like sometimes we both come to role play feeling bottomy and as hell. Mm-hmm. And we don't say, okay, well, I guess we don't fuck tonight because like I need a big malicious alien to eat me and you're not going to do that. So I guess we don't fuck. We say mm-hmm. like, okay, this is who I am tonight. And we figure out what feels hot about them doing. So we're not approaching it as like, this is, you know, let's do a role play and I would like you to be this thing to me. It's like, okay, I'd like to do a role play. What are you feeling into tonight? How are you feeling tonight? And we build from that. And I think that's really, it's significant too.
Yeah. We start with what feels approachable and we start with what feels genuine to us rather than trying to get ourselves to a point where an idea of something that theoretically sounds fun, feels genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we both probably, like, are into actually teacher-student thing, and it's a thing mm-hmm. that we've used as examples about. We've never done that.
No.
We've never played that out.
I've never even considered it, really. We'd be in the same class.
Yeah. Yeah. And not even, like, exactly. We've not considered it. It just hasn't come up. And no particular reason, but, like, it is, I've never been sitting around being like, I'm feeling like a teacher's pet kind of student today, right? So yeah, I think starting with like what you're feeling in the moment can be helpful rather than grasping at a thing that's theoretically hot.
And if you're not feeling anything in the moment, off like, that's another way that our stuff comes up. Like, last night I jerked off and we were, you know, doing this and then this happened and then I came really hard when I pictured you doing this. So anyway, you have that information now.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not something that like you're feeling right now, but like you jerked off about something or thought about something or saw a movie about something and hey, this was really hot. When we are horny, we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. I think also, so this is a thing we talk about a lot on this show, but talking about like the motivations of why you're interested in doing this scene, right? Super helpful. Why are you excited about role playing? Why do you want to be this character? Great. Love that. Obviously important. Also a great question. What are your character's motivations? Why are they here? Like if you're going to ask one question about the archetype that your character is giving you, I think their motivations is probably pretty high up there on what you want to know about how they're going to be behaving in the scene, because that is going to influence their behavior, obviously, but also the way you relate to them and is going to give you a ton to build on, right? A big bad man who wants to get off is going to fuck me differently than a big bad man who wants to torture and hurt me, right? So knowing, like, and this typically where there's a big bad man, I am a prisoner in some situation for a while, but like, so knowing why I've been imprisoned, am I a fuck toy or am I a fun little thing to torment, is going to add a whole flavor to the scene. So I think that's a really important question.
Yeah, and also it's really helpful to give your person you're fucking that information, because if they know what you find hot or why you were doing that thing, they, in their perverted brain, might also have suggestions on how to do that more. Because oftentimes, like, I will, you know, we'll be talking and I'll be like, yeah, I am feeling it. Where he goes, the malicious alien again. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, no, I'm just feeling, I just want to like grab you and grip you a bunch. And you just look pretty edible tonight. That's love a that sentence I've said to him. Mm-hmm.
All my favorite people threaten to murder me.
It's great. And he knows that that is why I want to be an alien tonight, because mm-hmm. I want to maul him. His perverted ass, me.
I just slowly unzipped my hoodie to show off my collarbones. Like, wasn't even thinking about it as they were saying
yeah,
this.
You did.
Anyway, I'm going to do things like that is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Or suggest, if you're mauling me, what if you were also doing this? Because, I don't know, you do that.
I'm a pervert, and I do often build on the ideas that mm-hmm. they have.
Yeah. And it's easier to do when he knows why it's making my dick hard. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other part of this question was about connection, and I do want to address it before we yeah. wrap up. We are like, coming tight on time. But talked about playing so that the connection feels authentic between you and your partner and not between characters. And my thoughts on this is like, so the connection that, I mean, frankly, with the shit we play, our characters are not all that connected all that often. They tend to be at odds at best. Mm-hmm. they ain't so friendly all the time. But that aside, the connection, I think, for me, because I find roleplay incredibly connective in terms of kink, and that connection comes from the vulnerability of existing in this shared imagination space and sharing the things that you are imagining and thinking about, right? And this shared process of creation, in the same way I felt when we've collaborated on like crafts or like photos, like the times we've done like really elaborate photo shoots together or videos or whatever, right? There is something that scratches a creative, collaborative itch that feels really, really intimate and connective, and not necessarily in a sexual way, but when they're also fucking my brains out, it becomes sexual real fast. Like, it is certainly a feeling that layers on top of the horny arousal, sexy, head empty feelings quite fucking well. Like, it is very pleasurable and a kind of intimacy I enjoy. But that connection isn't coming from intimacy between characters, even if we were role-playing like a first date type thing.
Yeah. And
like, if our characters were having intimate connective sex that looked like our intimate romantic connective sex in the times that we occasionally have it, that it isn't role-play, that's not where the connection would come from. The connection would have come from our conversations about who those characters are and how they got there, I think.
Right. Yeah. I definitely agree with that for us. And I also think that, like, especially the way that we role play, there is just a lot of intimacy built into, yes, building, you know, the experience together, but also like when we are deciding to role play tonight, we're also deciding several things. We're deciding that we are focusing on each other more. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you often work late into the evening because you make your own hours, you can. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes when we are deciding, okay, when we're going to spend the rest of the night role-playing, you are deciding, and I'm not going to be replying to clients on Twitter and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. We are also agreeing we're probably going to talk about the role-play afterwards. Mm-hmm. We are agreeing that, you know, it's deciding to role-play also decides several other forms of intimacy along with it.
And I was going to wrap us up, but you did touch on one interesting thing that I do want to, like, mention before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fun things about roleplay that we didn't even scratch the surface of is the fact that it will sometimes run a thread throughout our date nights. Like, often we put it on before, at minimum, the roleplay starts when we start the last TV show we're watching of the night. Mm-hmm. Whether it's going to be like we get halfway through it and we watch 20, 30 minutes and we're like fucking through half of it, or we're going to watch the full thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives us an opportunity. A, like, we tend to walk apart and like come back settled into character, but it gives those characters time to just exist next to each other. And we can do like, we'll be like, all right, from like dinner on, these are the characters we're playing for a while or something like that. So you'll get to build the experience of them being around each other in a non-sexual way to build sexual tension between the characters,
right,
which is fun, absolutely, and builds rapport and things, but even that is not where the connection, I think, comes from. The connection comes from this container that we've built, like you were talking about.
Yeah, like we're playing, I don't know, it's the difference between playing, Monopoly versus playing a collaborative game like...
Pandemic.
Like Pandemic!
Don't act like I said it. That was a stage whisper. You were supposed to edit it in calmly. But now what the answer is, like, now what it sounds like is, a game like Monopoly or, like Pandemic! When you edit me out, which is not seamless.
No, it's not.
It's not.
You gotta stop being so clever then. But yeah, it's a difference between playing Monopoly that makes you hate all your friends versus playing Pandemic, which makes you really happy that you and all your friends managed to make it out of this pandemic, which is a little too real. Anyway.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to note on this is that we talked a lot in the last episode we did on roleplay, which we'll link in the show notes or whatever. About the distinction between performance and experience and how in acting and like other forms of performance outside of kink, part of performing an emotion or a role or an experience is putting yourself in that place and experiencing at least a fraction of that. So that is also a thing worth thinking about here. And if you haven't heard that, I recommend going back to listen to that. But I think that wraps us up for now, because you put the two long-winded ADHD nerds in charge of this podcast, and we are running long. So as we wrap up, I just want to ask if you want to tell folks where they can find your stuff, who you are on the internet, and where they can see how fucking hot you are if they haven't seen that already. My God.
My name is D Darkholm. You can find me at D underscore Darkholm, which is spelled D-A-R-K-H-O-L-M-E. Yes, it's an X-Men reference. Yeah, you can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet with that handle. Mm-hmm. And you can also just find me eventually. I don't think you can avoid me if you follow Billy. So
that's me. I am Billy Lore on the internet, at BillyLore.com, at Billy Lore on Twitter, and Billy Lore _ on Instagram. There's a lot of my holes in all of those places. Well, not on Instagram. They don't let me. Only the mouth hole.
It's a good one.
I don't get to use it there, though. Not for all of its... Not for all of its functions. We only get to demonstrate the loudmouth qualities. Everything else lives on Twitter and over at BillyLore.com, where you can go and see my OnlyFans and all of my porn, information about my workshops, etc., etc. There's also a link on BillyLore.com where you can vote for me to be the favorite trans model on Pornhub. That's a weird sentence. Anyway, that's the name of the award. Anyway, vote for me to win favorite trans model on fucking Pornhub for the Pornhub Awards. There is a link over at BillyLore.com. It's flashing at the top. So like go over there and vote. And also while you're on that voting page, just like vote for trans men in every category that they're in. Do me a favor. Because we need more recognition in porn. So like anywhere that you see a trans man on there, I think Austin's on there at least once, probably a couple times. Triple X trans man's on there a couple times. Just go ahead and vote for all the boy pussy on that page. We thank you. Together with the Dildorks? Well, not with this one. This one's a Dildork. You are a Dildork and a fam. Oh, God.
I follow you around and fuck you in your van.
You do? I don't have a van.
I don't. I have the van.
Anyway, this show is the Dildorks. You probably know that if you've gotten this far. If this is your first experience with us, gosh, I'm sorry. We do have more put together episodes in the backlog. You can find us at thedildorks.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram at thedildorks. We're also at patreon.com/thedildorks. That's where you want to go to throw money at us so that I can feed myself and this cute boy sitting next to me, pay my rent, all those other things. Kate does the same with that money. It's real great money. You need it to live. For $6 a month, you get access to our exclusive Discord for other dildorks. There's a lot of chatter going on in there, some really cool folks. Definitely come hang out with us. And then for $12 $5 a month, you get access to our exclusive Patreon-only bonus episodes. I'm actually going to go back to gush about the Discord for one more second, because mostly because this is where Kate would list our top supporters, and I don't have that list in front of me. Maybe she'll dub her voice in here, and it'll be like a little cameo from her. Otherwise, I'm just going to gush about how clever some of the people in our fucking Discord are, because every time I peek in there, someone's got like a really fucking nerdy, sex nerdy question about like toy or lube chemistry or like positions or like, is there a product that can do like this, or like, do you know how bodies do this? And without fail, there's someone with a fucking answer. Like a well-informed, thoughtful, this is some of the nerdiest people I know in that Discord. I fucking love it. It's fantastic. Anyway, come hang out with us, $6 a month. There's more outro stuff, but Kate does it. Thank you to Protodome for our theme music. Thank you to Amy for our artwork. And thank you to you for listening. Get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
It's just a little rude to bite the fuck out of me and make me all gooey headed before making me record your podcast.
I don't think it does. We're going to talk a lot about getting into headspace later on.
So just start off with a live...
to that topic.
Just start off with a live demo. Hey, look at this
motherfucker. No, getting you into the headspace for the podcast.
Oh, fair. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. You do like to be giggly and gooey when you're on the podcast.
I don't think I have a choice.
You could not be on the podcast.
I like that.
See? And here we are.
Yeah. Fine.
That's why you're dating me. Okay.
You made me yell in Kate's ear. Look at that. Look at it spike.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kate.
You shouldn't yell. You should just let me bite your face. And then we wouldn't have a problem.
You're right.
We don't need more bloops. There will be plenty of bloops throughout the episode. We don't need to create bonus bloops in the beginning.
Right.
So just like that quietly just let me bite your face so we can get on.
If we just start an ASMR thing of just you biting me, it'll sound great. It'll podcast really well. Okay. I'm a professional.
Nope, that's why you're here. You're dating a professional. This is that nepotism thing they talk about. The long pause where I remembered the word nepo baby. Anyway,
she's gonna yell at us.
Yeah, she is. That's right, we'll live. She is the cat, not the Kate. Kate never yells at us. Kate loves us. I'm annoying and recording my own episodes with no structure.
We're going to have so much structure.
Chaos. Welcome. Nope. No. That's not even oh, God. Testosterone. Oh, God. It's hardly even a bloop. Incredible. I had something else set up, and then I got distracted because you were being cute.
Sorry.
It's okay. Why don't you in my bedroom?
I'm honestly impressed that we have an hour and 12. I'm surprised it wasn't longer. I was like, oh no, we're going to end up on a two-parter. What are we? Oh no.
Nope, we did good. I mean, we did only get to half of my questions. But we did good.
We did great.